Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow Alex? It's Ralph Sutton, Big J Okerson. Guess what?
Yeah.
Rap legend. You know how street cred I have in the rap world?
Yo. The G-Wiz.
The G-Wiz house. Glide Wizard in the house.
The Glide Wizard's about to take over, yo.
You know, in my hip-hop b-boy life that I lived for many, many years, and in the movies and the records and all that stuff.
But your B stood for bottom. You were a bottom boy.
The bottom.
Yeah, you would lay down and let men take your ass.
Yes. Well, there's not. Wait a minute. Is that not what it stands for?
It's not what it stands for.
Well,
Ralph.
Then we've got problems. I got to rethink my whole childhood.
By the way, can you tell that the rappers aren't here anymore? That we're making all these gay jokes that we've never made in front of them.
It's fucking Melly Mel, man. Goddamn first MC, Melly Mel.
And spoiler alert: Ralph pushed him.
I get it because he's close,
close to the edge.
Close to the edge. That's the joke right there. Pow,
Shannon,
zoom.
Did your nips get hard when I made that joke?
Yep.
You didn't like my joke, but that joke you like. Fuck you, Shannon.
They're called pokies on the internet. What's happening to Shannon right now with her nips peeking through like that?
Pokies?
They're called pokies.
Well, that sounds like,
you don't go on the nipslip.com?
On top of old pokey?
No. God, you're an old gentleman.
Wow. All right, look. If you love Melly Mel like I do, you could have heard this 5 days earlier commercial free.
If you weren't an asshole and taking everything for free.
YouTube or where Google Play or some shit like that.
If you weren't some scavenger.
But you know what? Just listen. But if you go to Guess
It. You know what is free, though? April 5th, my special.
What kind
Dog
of special?
Dog Belly coming out. It's a special event. Dog Belly.
Dog Belly on YouTube?
On YouTube.
Live from Skankfest?
Live from Skankfest. Free.
Use the code SDR, get 20% off. Or don't. Just keep listening. And you know what? Right now, before you listen, also look up that YouTube video.
Why not?
Why not? Play them both at the same time.
Why not? Run it over and over again.
Here it is right now. Melly Mel on the SDR show.
This is the intro to the shit show.
All righty, it is the SDR show, sex, drugs, and rock and roll show. I am Ralph Sutton. Directly across from me, Mr. Big J Okerson, and
maybe at like a
what are we going to say?
15
like
degrees.
15 degrees to my left, Mr. Big J Okerson. Which, by the way, I'm just going to say at the top of this: a week away from your comedy special coming out.
This comes out next Wednesday.
That's why I'm trying to say it where I was right about it.
Yes.
Yeah. So
I want to make sure you're right.
Yeah, I was right. I know.
I need people to watch the shit out of it immediately. I'm learning all this. You got to watch. You got to comment. You got to share.
Can I just, just put it on loop or I'm just watching on my house, it's just starting over and over again. Is that good or doesn't help?
It's I don't want false numbers either. But I'm doing Rogan the day before, so the Rogan bump should hopefully get it out of the gates good.
Right. That's awesome. So very rare to be able to say this on the show when you have a fucking, not only a legend, we're going to say like a creator almost, I would say. I think it's fair. Grammy Award winner. Fucking legendary rapper. I mean, I don't know what I'll say. Technically, the first MC. Technically,
sure.
The first MC.
Coined the term.
Coined the term. So many unique things and phenomenally interesting things about this guy. The king of fucking hip-hop. It is goddamn Melly Mel in the studio. How are
Melly
you?
Melly Mel is in the studio, baby.
Ooh.
The jacket. The shoes. Oh, my God. The Fu Manchu mustache.
You got
going
an old
on.
Going on.
White suit.
Yeah. White suit. It's got to be hard to maintain such a bright, white, perfect suit.
You see, and I want everybody to know I got $2. We ain't trying to go low profile. You know what I'm saying?
Do you get nervous with such a bright, white, perfect suit when you walk around? Anything that dust comes by, it's gonna tarnish the suit.
Nah, for some reason, I have good luck with white. Like in the gym, I wear white most of the time. Like,
this is what white people excuses they use to not wear white because we look horrible in it.
See?
We become translucent. You can see our face veins. Ralph, there's nothing cooler than New Edition at the Apollo wearing their white suits doing If It Isn't Love when they came back together.
With Johnny Gill.
Yeah, they look amazing. It was me, you, and three of our goofy white friends. And them saying it would look like we look like Boss Hogs.
Yeah,
You can look cool as shit like Melly Mel, or we look like Boss Hogg.
Yeah, we look like idiots. He looks cool as shit. That's basically what it boils down to. It's not that. And also, no way on earth I could pull that off. But that looks fucking cool.
Yeah,
cool,
so you have to be different. Like, you know, I was trying to, you know, come with a different. Because I don't want to ever get caught in mistaken identity. I never bought a pair of Timberlands. I never, you know, wore the Uptowns, you know, the big white T-shirts. I never, you know, if I see, like, six black guys doing one thing, I'm going to try to do something else.
I like that.
And that's how hip-hop got started.
Well, that, by the way, let's get into this, which is wild. So hip-hop, rap, basically, you're creating it, is different than anyone now that's trying to improve upon what's already been laid out.
Right.
When you're actually, like, the first flyer ever to say MC was you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. See, it's he just, did his homework.
It's fucking wild to me that, like, the idea of saying, I'm going to put that on a flyer and it's never been done before. Why is that so funny?
It's not. Shannon, isn't it just funny hearing Ralph talk rap? He really just, he looks like a school guidance counselor.
Well, I watched a, I
like, as an MC, if you could tell me, Melly Mel.
Well, look, DJ, that guy Vlad, who's the whitest guy
Bobby,
in the
why
world.
Is your beard shaved off? Did your boyfriend beat you up or something?
He accidentally shaved off his beard.
Wow.
It doesn't happen.
He used the wrong setting on his fucking razor. And then he had to go all in.
No, he thought the dildo was the razor, and that's when it went wrong.
Well, that's why he was late last week. He was just sucking on a dildo for an hour. I was like, Bobby, get out of there.
Dildoies and stuff.
So if this is a dildo, that means my toothbrush must be. Wait a second.
And the microwave must have. Oh, no.
Sorry, Ralph. Back to Ralph keeping it real on the streets.
You know what's funny, by the way?
Hip-hop,
It's going to come up eventually, so I'm going to say it anyway, because Jay's going to make fun of me. I was a breakdancer in 84, right? And He probably heard you.
Tell me your nickname. He probably heard you.
Let's do this. Let's jump into it right away. So you, obviously, one of the first, I think the first rapper to win a Grammy, right? Because of the Chaka Khan, I Feel For You,
absolutely,
won a Grammy, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so Shannon, when you play
you
this clip.
You might be right, I might be wrong. I say Chaka Khan.
Chaka.
You're doing Chaka.
I think it's Chaka.
I think it's Chaka.
Well, it's Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan.
All right, so listen. First of all, I would like to ask you, how the fuck did that come about? Did she come to you? Like, how did that come to happen?
Well, that song actually was, it was Arif Mardin's idea. I don't know if you know who Arif Mardin is. He's like, he was a famous producer, but back then he was about 80 years old. Like, he might have been in his 70s, 80s, but it was his idea.
Really?
Chaka didn't want to do the song. I really, you know, I mean, we all was in love with Chaka Khan, you know, so she was like the diva, you know, the voluptuous, you know. Mm-hmm. But I was stuck on the song. I didn't really know what to, but it was Arif Mardin's idea to put it together. And then a guy, Reggie Griffin, that used to be with Sugar Hill, he arranged it and, you know, he told me what to say as far as the rap, and we just put it together. I had never seen Chaka Khan.
Oh, really?
And they flew the 2-inch in and they put it all together. And I was at the Roxy. I got in a yellow cab because I was too high to drive. And I'm driving uptown, and I heard the song. And I'm thinking, you know, because I was fucked up. I mean, so I'm thinking, I'm hallucinating. But it was the song. And then the next time I seen Chaka Khan, I flew from London like 16 hours to go to the Grammys to do the song with Chaka Khan.
Nice.
So that was the first time I'd ever seen her at the Grammys.
I just saw her at Sirius a couple weeks ago. She was outside. It was like a crowd gathered around her. She's voluptuous is the right word, but she's tiny.
Is she tiny?
There was a tiny. I thought she was really small.
Yeah, she's.
So when the video first came out,
still beautiful.
You might
know
and have some insight in this. I don't know. There was a video that was only played like for a week or two, and then they pulled it because I think I don't know. I've heard stories because she was too drunk in it. It would look too low budget, and then they redid it with a much more bigger budget video. But this is why I'm saying this. There's a breakdancer in that video that was part of my.
That's his claim to fame.
Yeah, so
he missed a cut on the Chaka Khan.
I know a guy who did a head spin.
You know, but play the video, because this video, by the way, when I first looked for this video a few times, you can't find it anywhere. It just went back up online. Just play this one clip.
Are you going to show your friend? You going to show us your friend?
Watch my friend.
Hey, that's Steve.
There he goes, right there on the left. That's Joel Brett from IBM, Incredible Body Mechanics, right there.
Oh my God, was there not enough black people doing hip hop for this little Jewish kid from New York? Everyone's embarrassed by that. You just made Chaka Khan upset. That's insane. Wow. That's my friend Joel Lowenstein.
Joel.
Oh, he's a pediatric dentist.
And then
now.
maybe they pulled the video because they wanted him on a white kid dancing in the video.
Ralph also tells us he was in Crush Groove, but he
wasn't.
I
was in Crush Groove. Yeah, I was in Crush Groove.
He wasn't, though.
I was with him, with that kid right there in Crush Groove.
Neither of you were in Crush Groove then.
Right, he almost was in Crush Groove.
Well, Ralph said he's in the audience scene
we
of when they
the scene
the Fat
day
Boys perform.
In the audience when the Fat Boys were performing, and they cut a lot of that scene.
He was standing by the bathroom.
They kept asking
in
him to
Crush
leave.
Groove.
Insane.
It's like, oh, Scooby, could you get away from the bathroom?
what's going on there?
Don't you guys, steal no toilet paper.
Is that Crush Groove?
So I want to get back to some interesting facts.
Who's the Disco Three?
I find out about you. So when Rapper's Delight first came out, it was like it was a hit. It made rap somewhat mainstream.
Right.
But to most rappers, it was goofy. It was a goofy song, right? It was a little too sing-songy. There was no street cred behind those people. Rapper's Delight.
Right.
Right. And then what I do think it did is it opened the doorway.
Absolutely.
So that all of a sudden, like, oh, maybe we can act, this can become something now. And that's what basically paved the way for the message. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, but like any rapper that was out there, we thought that Rapper's Delight was the worst piece of shit that we ever heard.
It was also 85 lyrics. It was 85 verse. You could fit it on a 45.
The lyrics were all stolen too, right? I mean, so much so that
Hank took Kaz's lyrics. But at the time, and then people would come up and they would say, well, y'all should do a record like that. We would be like, why would we make a piece of shit like that? But you heard it like every you know every 10 feet, like it was probably the hottest record I ever heard. And I mean, to this day, it's still a great record. But you know, see, we thought we was in an advanced stage, so it went over our heads. It's like, you know,
I think what's interesting of the early 80s rap too is the influence when we had Daryl from Run DMC in here before too. He had the influence of almost like the punk and heavy metal on hip hop in the beginning, down to the clothes. I always thought like the outfit you're wearing in the Message video is so like rock and roll inspired with the big spike, the big long spike bracelets and everything.
Well, back then we was hanging out down here. The guy that used to make the clothes, he had a loft on 7th Street and Avenue D. Oh. So we used to go to the Mud Club and, you know, we used to hang out down here. So that was our whole, you know, being that we didn't play instruments, so every time it was a lull in the action, somebody'd be like, where's the guitar player? Who's the drummer? So we had to come up with like a little gimmick, and that's what it was, the spikes and the leathers. You know, being that the guy we was living with, he made leathers anyway, so that was our whole little image that we put together just to...
Mickey?
Yeah. But not this Mickey. This Mickey steals. And the only reason why he's here right now is so he won't steal
shit.
So you know
where your wallet is. So if he's here, you know where your wallet is.
No, if he was out there, he'd be stealing your shit.
So thank Mr. Mel. Like,
thanks, Mel, for bringing him in. Yeah, so he wrote here that Sugar Hill made the record and it made it commercial radio be allowed to play hip-hop, which is what it did. It commercialized hip-hop, right? Yeah. It made it okay. All of a sudden, it was okay to play hip-hop on the radio.
But everybody already knew that, Mick, stay in your lane.
Yeah. Yeah,
was there a thing with a... Was there ever, like, you just interviewed Nile Rodgers recently. Was there, like, a chic debate about that at all? Was there anything?
No,
like
they said
that?
That Nile Rodgers song led to the making the beat for the Sugar Hill Gang.
But it wasn't like, they didn't, like, take, it wasn't like a sampling then, almost.
No, they took the beat. That's what they did.
The full song.
No, but it wasn't a sample. They played it.
They played the actual song.
Yeah, but even, like, even White Lines was that other song.
It was Liquid. I think the name of the song was Cavern.
Yeah, something like that. So, yeah, I mean, that was done then more than it became more production at the time. You just find good beats.
Yeah,
and
hip-hop rips people off. It's just like how they say, cultural misappropriation or whatever it is. Hip-hop is the biggest cultural misappropriation. Everything is hip-hop, you know. You just take it and you flip it and you make it hip-hop.
And you make
it
your own.
Absolutely.
Was it Rick Rubin? I heard in some interview he said, like, he found out really early if you can, like, find a way to loop, like, I think it's under 10 seconds of a song.
It
you can do
register.
It without paying them.
Yeah.
So he's like, he learned that. He's like, if you got to find 10 seconds, you can loop to make a good beat.
Yeah, but that doesn't, I don't think that holds up anymore. I don't think you can do that anymore.
No, probably not.
Yeah, it doesn't hold up anymore. It's unfortunate. So now, it's a funny term. I'm going to sound even wider saying this.
Oh,
okay.
Christ.
Now, you want to buckle in.
Oh, sweet
before
Jesus.
Being an MC, the term was B-boy, right?
B-boy.
And you were a B-boy that was basically a dancer and like someone that would like help liven up a party when you were somewhere. And then one day they just started rapping on microphones to add to that. Am I right? I mean, that's what happened.
Well, what basically happened is like the life of a B-boy is very short because, you know, what you're trying to do and is, you know, and after a while it got even more and more athletic. That when Rocksteady and them and they started spinning on their heads and, mm-hmm. you know, I was B-boy and we was cool, so I didn't want to have to do all what Crazy Legs was doing, mainly because I didn't want to fuck up the crease in my pants. You see what I'm saying? So we had
would
to
ruin
move
the white suit pretty quickly.
You see what I'm saying? So we had to
get
move
dirt on.
On
your back from doing a windmill.
Right. So I could do, you're spinning on your head, boy, and I had a receipt in the hairline anyway. I'm like, we ain't doing none of that shit. You know, give me the mic. Let me try to be interested. You know
what
I'm saying?
And I've watched things where they talk about that flip in the time, like it was the DJ show kind of in the beginning of like the party scene of it, and the MC was just supposed to be like just the people on the left now, yeah. just people on the right. And then when they started putting like poetry and like lyrics to it, like they said the DJs were kind of like, hey, what the fuck's happening? Like they were kind of in the, you know.
Yeah, well,
Eric and B and Rakim, it's like they still announced the DJ first. Like they,
right, right. But yeah. that was the protocol.
Yeah. DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
Yeah, DJs was more important. But you know, after the records, it kind of, you know, well, most people dropped their DJ. We just kept our DJ's name in the front, which was the biggest mistake of our career.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
And also, it used to be the thing where you would just say your name twice. You were Melly Mel. A lot of people changed their names after that fact. Right. But you kept Melly Mel the whole time.
Yeah, you want to try to keep it real, and then you wind up being real broke. You know what I'm saying? I want to go to Hollywood, too. You know what I mean?
That's really great. So they start doing that, and at some point, you get people together, and you start your own rap group, I guess, right? And this is the best way. Yeah. And what I liked is that one of the songs that was a hit, Freedom, wasn't even supposed to be yours.
Right.
It was supposed to go to Love Bug Starsky, but he had a lisp.
You know, he does his, you must have listened to.
I listened to so many, interviews. Dude. So many.
So that.
Listen to me. I made sure this is right. Yeah. Don't need no mistakes here.
I've seen a lot of pictures of Mick. Most of them is coming
in my
the
house,
post office.
Tell me, you're writing down things like this so I don't screw things up.
Most of them was in the post office. I don't know if it's child support or it's his klepto career, but that's what happened.
Who made that decision?
What
to give you the song?
Miss Robinson and Stark. Yeah, but right now, see, Notorious B.I.G., he had a lisp. But by then, you know, everybody was just, you know, but that was like old school rules, like, you know, like in the Motown days, like if you had a lisp, you couldn't, you know. So then we just got the record, we put Flash, involved him in the record. It seemed like it was cutting on the record because you know that's how the instrumentation was. And then after that, it was history. That was our first big record on Sugar Hill, and you know, we was off and running.
And then what's wild, which I still think to this day there's not enough people that do this, is you always have a very like socially conscious lyrics. I mean, the message and White Lines and stuff like that is very, you know, trying to make an actual, quote, a message to the music, not just, hey, look how cool I am. I'm cooler than you. I have more money than you.
Right.
That is not really done to this day still. Most rappers don't do that. I mean, some of you could argue like Kendrick maybe, you know, but.
Yeah. But I think that was the part of rap that made rap, it kind of expanded what it could be.
Mm-hmm.
And then it expanded the audience as well. And then it spurned on a couple other groups, you know, the Poor Righteous Teachers and X-Clan. And of course, you know, the great Public Enemy, you know, big shout out to Chuck D and Flav Flav. I love you dudes. And I think actually that was the high point of rap. And then right after that, I don't know if it's a coincidence or it was just something that was planned to happen, right after that, NWA comes in. Everything turns into gangster rap. And then, as far as I'm concerned, being that I'm one of the more, you know, serious rappers, that's when the wheels fell off the wagon.
Well, people say that a lot. Like, let's use rock as an example, right? Because I come from a rock background more than anything else. But
no. One God Wizard?
You sure?
Yeah, I was. By the way, that was my my breakdancing name was the G Wiz.
Ran out of Crush Groove into the rock and roll radio. Yeah.
He was in the Hip Hop Hall of Fame. I was in the Breakdancing Hall of Fame.
Like, excuse me, could you move away from the bathroom? We're trying to get this shot.
Longest white guy to do a knee spin. 7 seconds. Longest knee spin boy I get. 7 seconds before he face
great.
Planted.
It's really great. All right, so then, okay, a couple of things that I thought was interesting is that your lyric, of course, that the message was inspired by Living for the City by Stevie Wonder.
Absolutely.
That's fucking cool as shit that you heard that. And that man, that was originally from a different song, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
An earlier rap song and you put it into
the and that's how hip-hop is. You take something, and I just took, like, you know, the basic theory of what he was doing. So I'm saying I'm doing, you know, my rendition of what Living for the City would have been if I wasn't a singer and I was a rapper. Mm-hmm. And that's A Child Is Born With No State of Mind, Blind to the Ways of Mankind. When he did A Boy Is Born in Hard Time, Mississippi, surrounded by, you know what I'm saying? So I just, you know, just flipped it.
You know, it's funny. My daughter's 20 years old, loves hip hop, and she listens to classic stuff because she's a good kid for music. As like mm-hmm. a fan of music myself, she kind of knows it all. But, and I like to believe it's just age that you're supposed to get to a point where you're like, I don't get the new stuff at all. But man, if I saw Kendrick Lamar live at Bonnaroo, he blew me away. He played with a live band. I thought what he just did was amazing. But I genuinely, everything she likes, I've watched it with her to give it some sort of a chance, but like the little babies and debate, I genuinely don't understand it. It doesn't make it's. And
I'm sure
a hip hop fan for
what
sure.
What do you think of someone like Lil Pump? Do you want to fucking kill him? Like, I can't imagine.
No, but see, this is what it is. It's not really understandable. But then when you do understand it, and if you can understand it, you're probably a loser. too much hip hop and weed will turn you into a loser. And nobody wants to admit it, but that's what it is.
Because,
you know what I mean?
But also though, like you said this in an interview where Drake songs, whether you like him as a rapper or not, they're somewhat catchy. So you was like, all right, you know what? Maybe I don't love him as a rapper, but his songs are catchy, right?
You wouldn't even. I mean, I thought he was basically a singer because most of the songs got singing in it.
The auto tuning and all that stuff. Yeah, that's what I mean.
At least it's catchy. Where there's other songs that like I try to like to like. I use Lil Pump as an example.
No, there's
nothing there for me.
I watched that thing. It was a Travis Scott because I've seen him perform like live performances on YouTube and stuff. Where I'm like, mm-hmm. Well, that guy goes. He does a rock star performance, which is important. Difficult. I've been to a lot of rap shows that were terrible because the person just didn't know how to put on a show. One of the best hip hop shows I've ever seen was LL Cool J a million years ago. But I'm like, oh, he came out and did it. Like he did a fucking show. I went to go see Nas, Wu-Tang, and Busta Rhymes on that last tour they did. Mm-hmm. Surprisingly, I thought to me, Busta Rhymes stole that show from everybody else.
Yeah,
he puts
crazy.
On a show.
Yeah, he's sick.
He's got the Wu-Tang Clan just smoking pot until it's their turn to sing. I love him, but it was crazy.
Here's the thing with hip-hop, and this is why hip-hop should not be taken seriously. Because I say all the time, 98% of what anybody says in hip-hop is just some guy, and he's talking shit.
Yeah. Right.
So if you take his bullshit serious, then what does that make you?
Right. And I like the line you said, like real gangsters, real like street thug guys are not going to turn into become rappers.
They're not going to do it.
This is the interesting thing because, you know, I was like Tupac. Like the problem is when you start trying to like mimic the character you've created. Yeah. You know, because like Tupac, they said was like a good kid.
He was dancing around to the Humpty Dance.
He went to school to be a dancer and poet and stuff. Yeah. So he was like. Not that it makes him a soft guy necessarily, but he's like an artistic mind. He's not really like, let's get in the streets.
Right.
Kind of, and then he he became that. Kind of like what took him down himself, like trying to find that smoke.
Well, look, the average good rapper is actually a great actor. Mm. And that's why it translates.
They have to be an actor to
be a good rapper. Yeah, because they're playing a part. Like they rap persona is actually an act in itself. Right. I mean, they don't want to admit it, but you know, nobody is that. It's just like from what I know, guys that kill people, they're not going to be a rapper. They don't have that much to
say. There's very few people that live and breathe hip hop like I do.
No, yeah, Ralph, you're the guy.
The thing that I love that you said is what that really speaks to me, because that stupid list, I think it was Billboard. I don't remember who did top 50 rappers. Well, I don't remember who it was, but they put you at 48, right? And then you said this thing that could not be make more sense to me. It's like, well, who made the list? Like, if it's just some idiot in a fucking back room that says, all right, I'm making a list, it's nonsense. If five rappers that you really respect the hell out of put that list together, that makes sense. And the way I equate it, so it's very often it's never that.
No,
so, like, I get shit a lot on this show, right? Very commonly get shit. Jay is hilariously funny.
They've seen your behavior.
Right. They know. So I always look at, well, where is that coming from? You know, if it was three or four really good radio people that I respect, like if Howard Stern said, hey, I listen to your show and I fucking hate it, that might bother me.
Right.
But some jerk off that just says, I don't listen when Jay's not here, how could that be anything that means anything to me? Who are you? Like, why should I give a shit of your opinion? And that's when you said that, it made so much fucking sense.
Yeah, and they just culture vultures. You know, they'll do it, and that's how hip hop.
Some people lobby for it too. Some people care that much, they lobby to be on the list.
But that's how it gets watered down and it gets corny, because they'll put the list together without no criteria. Just even with Billboard, I guess the main criteria would be records, but then they just get Professor Hip Hop or Dr. Hip Hop or whoever this guy is, or girl, it could have been a female, who knows, but they get that person to do the list, and then everybody gets caught up in the back and forth, and oh no, but I always say, and this is what I live by, if you think that it's 50 great rappers, you're definitely not one of them. If you look at everybody on the list, nobody really says nothing that's actually great. It's hip hop. And like I said, hip hop is some guy and he's talking shit. He's fucking with you.
Right. That's why when you talked about a lot how, you know, how you can beat so many of the other rappers, I'm not going to drop names right now. But the interesting thing about it is that I think, especially if you look at it from the perspective of, well, what's your fucking message? Like, what are you saying?
The message.
Then the message. Then it makes a lot more sense. I was like, yeah, of course that makes sense, because most of that rap is superfluous. It doesn't have a message behind it.
I like the quotes.
I think there's no authenticity when someone puts a list together that's not in the business.
Right. That's the
thing. This is what Mel is saying. You got to be in the business to create a list of who's the greatest rappers. Have you ever rapped before? Only because you went to a concert and you work for Billboard does not mean that you are authentic enough to give us a list.
It happens
in
comedy, too. It happens in comedy, too.
So those watching the video, they're just a ghost speaking.
No, what he said is right.
Shannon?
I don't know if I'm supposed to put him on camera or not.
No. What he said was right, but nobody, he's not supposed to talk. Nobody told him to say shit. See, he just come around, he steal my shine, and then he steal other people's shit, and then they blame me.
And by the way,
he's like, Melly Mel
said that walking
fucking,
in, and he's like, I'm going to say that on the mic.
Melly
fuck
Mel
that.
Stole a fucking toilet paper.
I want to say something interesting to Mel's point. He said before about the actors, like rappers become good actors. Because I'm watching, it's very fun. I love watching like biopic stuff, and the Wu-Tang Clan saga on Hulu is very entertaining. I do love, however, when they throw in things that can never be the case. But I think several of the guys playing the Wu-Tang Clan members, they're not the actual guys. They're other rappers who they hired to play them in the show. And they're all like really good
actors.
Like they're really good actors because, I mean, a guy plays Old Dirty Bastard where you like forget it's not him. Like, he's that good at it.
Wow.
And it's pretty amazing. With the guy, Dave East plays
Method Man.
Plays Method Man.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, it's Method Man.
That's
like,
cool. When you see I haven't watched it yet, but that's cool.
They do a really
I want to ask you this question. There's a skit on SNL that has stuck with me for 40 years, okay? And I don't know if you've ever seen it, so I'm curious. That's why we're going to play it. This is when the message, I was 12, I think, came in 82, am I right?
Right.
So I was 12. And to me, it was like the coolest thing in the world. Love the song. And then, I don't know if you know this either, because, like, by the way, it took me...
Are you in the video?
I'm in the video. No, it took me a week.
See? You gotta stay, but you gotta stay away from that bag.
Let me guess,
you know?
Ralph. You're doing the windmill in the back of the video with Joel Lowenstein.
I
want to
know if you ever saw this.
He's the guy that you leave the green gum in the urinal. That's this guy here.
I want to know if you ever saw this video of SNL showing. This is when this is 1982, when it told me, oh, the message is fucking super mainstream right now. It's a 2 minute skip. We're gonna cut it down to like about a minute in. The idea is they're singing Under the Boardwalk in the bathroom. Is the concept here? Okay, go ahead.
Under the boardwalk, down by the sea.
They all just start singing in the bathroom. Under the boardwalk is the concept. Okay, just as friends, they just whatever. Okay, so just it starts in about 10 seconds. I just wonder if you ever saw this.
I never saw it.
You'll see why in a minute. So you never saw that?
No, it was one reason. I very rarely watch Saturday Night because I was out getting drunk and high on Saturday nights. It's like
right, makes sense.
That's me time. That's my me time.
In my defense, I was 12, for God's sake. And it's funny because it stuck with me for 40 years, and it took me like a week to find that. And I finally found it. I wanted to know if you knew that. That's pretty wild.
That's kind of nice. Though.
Do you remember how fast after the songs got popular did they try to commercialize you? Do you remember? Like when they started coming to you for like, we now want this to be for like Maytag appliances or something, and you got to be like, oh shit.
No, but that kind of took a while to happen because when we first started doing hip hop, it's not like Wall Street, they kind of rejected it.
Sure.
So it was just we did a lot of shows, and you know, I don't think we got our first commercial till maybe 20 years later, maybe.
Yeah.
And then you know,
the guy become a classic first.
Yeah.
The other thing that's crazy is like, you know, not just were you a pioneer in the industry, but finding other people that are obviously incredibly talented too. Like when White Lines came out, the video that I don't think was ever really officially released,
right?
But Spike Lee directed it, right? And Lawrence Fishburne is in it.
Lawrence Fishburne.
And that's not, it never was really like officially the video or whatever, but it was the video, right?
Well, the story behind the video is Spike Lee is an up-and-coming film director in college. Mm-hmm. So he makes the video. And I'm sitting in the studio out in New Jersey, and Mr. Robinson, you know, he looks at the video, and Larry Fishburne has got the white suit on, and he's walking around, and the girls is dancing, and I said, yeah, well, who did the video? He's like, you know, some fucking guy. I said, so what you gonna do with it? He said, I told him go fuck himself, right? So now, I want to say about maybe a year and a half later, he's all excited. He's coming out to the office, come on to the office, Mella. So I get to the office, get the jersey. Shows me the same video, Spike Lee, but you know, now he's big Spike Lee. And then so yeah, we're gonna try to do it. And then Spike Lee told him, go fuck yourself.
And then just as a part of White Lines, also, it's awesome, is that lyric about he's out on bail was about DeLorean.
Right.
I never knew that. And then also the like chorus in the back was inspired by Twist and Shout.
Right, absolutely. Because Ronald Isley was in the studio when we actually did the record. So that was the part, adding the don't do it to the record to make it an anti-drug song, because, you know, we was getting high. Right. So I
imagine,
though,
it made much more people want to do white cocaine than stop it.
Yeah, kind of, you know, because it was a party song. We made, you know, and then Ron Isley was there, and then that's when they added, you know, Twist and Shout and Higher Baby, Get Higher Baby.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
All right, before we go any further.
Yes.
Hey there, responsible adults.
You know me, dude. I'm showing up for the Yacht Rock show.
You know that he's got to come in if it's a Yacht Rock show.
And I've got a long way to go.
All the way to Transylvania.
Got a long... No, dude, you have to be my Michael McDonald. And I've got A long way to go.
Such a long way to go.
To make it to the corner of Mexico. And I ride like the wind. Ride like the wind. You know, it's International Women's Day, Ralph.
Yeah, that's why I'm doing this.
Yeah.
You know how I feel about it. If you're over the age of 21 and you're living in a state where Delta 8 is legal, which is where?
Oh, shit. 48 states, I think.
I think that's right.
The lower 48.
At least 48 of them.
Probably 48 of them. The other ones are gay places.
Gay states.
Kentuckys
stay away,
and
whatever. Stay
what
away from
you.
Those states.
The Kentuckys and whatever.
Go to yourdelta.com. You can stock up on high quality lab tested Delta 8 vapes, gummies. What's your one of choice? A vape or gummy?
I vape while I gummy. I try to chew the gummy and then get the vape inside the gummy. And then I chew the gummy more.
Wow, I can't be easy.
Yes.
All by listening to Yacht Rock.
I've got a lot of time on my hands, you know. The city shuts down at 4. I got about 2 hours before the sun comes up. I play around. I dabble.
That's fair enough.
I doodle.
Go to YoDelta.com, the official Delta 8 sponsor of Gas Digital Network. Use the promo code GAS. Get 25% off. When you want to get high, you won't have such a long way to go.
You definitely saw Robbie Dupree on the paper.
No, I did not.
Yes, you did.
By the way.
You went from not knowing it all to knowing completely.
I swear.
It's a one-hit wonder.
I swear my life.
Nobody knows one-hit wonders out of the blue from not knowing it at all to one-hit wonder. It's okay. You can cheat. He's still going to win.
I said it was an R. I knew it was an R.
And then all of a sudden the whole thing came to you and the name of the song all at once. Okay. I didn't realize. Oh, were you under hypnosis? Did you have a childhood trauma? Maybe you want to remember
just
also?
Just like the Arthur theme.
Did a rabbi touch your dick and butthole, Ralph?
Mute him! Mute the vampire! All right, let's get back into it. YoDelta.com. Use the promo code GAS.
And in just I want to get into like what's going on now. We're also going to
tell a story when you met Jasper Isley.
We're also going to get it. We're going to play a little 80s.
met Rudolph.
We're going to talk about the new podcast, and we're also going to play the new hit. We're going to play some 80s hip-hop trivia. I mean, name that tune. But in continuing the idea of you finding people or working with people before they were famous, you did a children's book with Lady Gaga before she was famous. Is that right, too?
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
Portal in the Park.
Right? And that was before she was anybody.
Yeah.
And there's two songs with her on that.
Yeah. She's very, very talented. I went in the studio because the woman that did the record, she's just like trying to, you know, just bear down on us going to, we're going to go in the studio and I'm going to have somebody in. I'm like, listen, they don't do records like that. We have to have some production and just a plan, you know. But then I went down to the studio just so she could stop bugging me about going to the studio. So the girl is right there, you know, she's in the studio. And then I'm like, okay, let's see what you got. You know, it's amazing.
Amazing.
Wasting my fucking time. And then she was really good, right?
Yeah.
She was really good. And then we worked together. We put the song together, and I went to she was doing like it was kind of like White Soul with like some college kids, and I went and checked out a couple of times, and I thought that stuff was better than her stuff now. So now months go by, I don't hear nothing from her. Asked my man Rock. I said, Rock, whatever happened to Stefani? I think her name.
Stephanie,
yeah. Whatever happened to Stefani? And then this is what he said. He said, oh, yeah, she's doing club music now, and she's going to change her name to Lady Gaga. I said, did she lose her fucking mind?
But next that just goes to show. She's wearing a meat suit at the Oscars.
No, but that just goes to show. She believed in her. But she was, I'm telling you, if she was to ever get back to the stuff that she was doing, I thought that was better than her.
When I did,
it was really good stuff.
When I did my crowd work show, we filmed it at the Bitter End.
That's where she used to play all the time.
And became friendly with the owner there, and he had so many. He goes, Stephanie would just come in on like Tuesday nights and just do shows, like empty place, but she would just. She's unbelievably talented.
There was this
super duper talent.
Yeah. There was this party called the Motherfucker Party that I used to go to with my ex girlfriend Dawn. It was like go go dancers of, and she was one of the go go dancers back then. You see her all the time, and then when she made it big, Dawn said, "You know that's Stephanie." I'm like, "Oh really? That's fucking crazy." By the way, another thing that's wild. And I was trying to think of other rappers that I could say this about, and Jay's going to make fun of me for this. But
yeah, that's what I do.
I can make a noise where you're like, oh, you're talking about Melly Mel. If I just go, rah, it's like, oh, that's Melly Mel, right? No other rapper that I could think of. Maybe the yeah for fucking Lil Jon, but that is it's in Beach Street, it's in White Lines.
Right.
I just like that you were like, I don't think it's ever, and then you immediately thought
well,
of another
one. That's a yeah, it's a word, though. That's a word. Rah is not a word. So that's a cool thing that you decided to just like seed that into songs and became synonymous with that noise.
Yeah, but you know, I got that from Tony the Tiger.
Oh, really?
When I was, like, you know, watching the Saturday morning cartoons, and this is something I did even before I was rapping, and they would say, they're great, and I would go, rah!
That's
and
awesome.
I just stuck with it.
And that's fucking cool shit.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So also, by the way, which I think you're in your early 60s, am I right?
Yes, 61.
Okay. And throughout your entire life, for the most part, in fucking ridiculous shape.
Yoked.
Right?
Yeah,
yoked
yeah.
From day one. You even entered the, like, you went to the WWE for a hot minute, right?
Well, I tried. I went to the wrestling school. And what I found out is the preparation to being a wrestler is probably harder than the actual wrestling itself.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I'm sure.
Once you get to the top level, it's more like dancing, but then, you know, you still got to learn.
They phase out
people
by the schools, because anyone could join a wrestling school, so they phase people out by, like, quickly you'll see, like, if you could do that or not.
Yeah, I'm still trying to make a comeback. I'm still holding that on the bucket list. Vince McMahon is somebody I could be the best pitch guy. See, guys right now, they can't sell it, but I still got
the body
for it.
As a pitch man, you'd fucking nail it.
Yeah, I'd kill it. I got the body for it, you know what I mean? Just work with me. Just don't kick me in the head too hard.
And recently you started a podcast in the gym. Right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I do most of it in the gym. It's called Melly Mel's Hip Hop Corner.
Right.
Where, you know, we discuss all things that's important and non-important in hip hop. It's coming along real good.
I watched a couple episodes. I see you mentioned a lot of other guys to tell them to come in and work out with you and stuff. That would be cool.
Yeah, because we got to make that a culture just like how it could. See, a lot of the cultures that surrounds hip hop now is more subculture, but then it's all negative. You know what I mean? It's just like even all the hip hop podcasts. It's a bunch of guys and they just bicker with each other.
Right.
And that's what people expect out of hip hop, but that's not true hip hop. Like, just bickering was like, hip hop is like the bridge. It's like, you know, hip hop takes you from here to there. Hip hop don't keep you, you know, in the whole negativity and the beef.
Can I play devil's advocate with you for a second, if you don't mind?
Sure.
The fact that you did come out and say that you're better than other people on that list of the 50, does that not incite bickering? Or am I wrong to assume that?
It incites bickering because they don't think I'm right. You see what I'm saying? I'm right.
He's not going to bicker back because you go, no, I'm just right.
No, but look, if they was to put everybody on stage, I'm still going to look better and stronger than them at the Grammys. I thought I was the best looking guy there. I mean, as far as my physical presence, not the performance or anything like that, you know, because that's my image. So, I mean, that's where the bickering is. It's like I've done it so long and then, yo, Mel, he couldn't really, you know, but nobody would rap the same way that they would rap 30, 40 years ago.
Sure.
Of course, the styles change, everything's changed. But my image is still, you know, I'm still one of the best looking guys in the business, and that's not going to change no time soon because like, see, this is how I see it. They too real. They just looking like guys off the street. I would never have done that. Like,
it's
just look like a regular guy off the street.
It's about the, I mean, not the, it's about the theatrics and the
right.
show first.
There's two takes on that. Interesting. I find that, like, the everyday guy versus, like, you're the performer. You're up there. You're doing a thing. It is kind of a fun thing, I think, in music, is you get to do that. You get to kind of go be cool and larger than life. Doing stand-up comedy, it's interesting. I think it reads better when you're just jeans as basic
it's different,
as you can
though.
Be.
That's
sometimes
a different world.
Because I'm saying it's almost like they do need to see, like, they're supposed to be connecting with you on, like, a real level where it's like not, but where music is a performance.
Music is supposed to be larger than life. That's why.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why all the greats, they don't do what they do now. Like Elvis and Michael never did a song together. Prince and Michael never did. You know, you did your own album. You didn't do as many features. And the main thing is you had image and you had stage presence. Now, see, there's nothing wrong with that. But the one thing that it does, it lessens the talent pool. You don't get street guys to do hip because they're doing street shit.
Yeah.
Everything is you know, none of it is entertaining. So you get this guy, he got all these big records, or this girl, she got all these big records. And when you see her on stage, it's like watching Bob Marley's dreadlocks grow. I mean, there's nothing there.
But also all these things, it's like they're more known for, like, again, I know them because my daughter is, like, fans of them, but, you know, Gunna is in jail for a thing, the Tekashi 6ix9ine stuff. Like, all that stuff happens, and you're just like, what's going on? It's just like such weird.
It's not,
like,
also, none of it's about the music.
No, because they design it not to be about the music.
They're also getting famous in 30-second clips on TikToks and things, which is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, if I put up my hang glides on TikTok, forget about it, blow up. So they're saying it's 50 years of hip-hop now. Right? I don't know if that's about right, but let's assume that's about right. Right?
The Grammys said.
Are there newer artists now that you've heard that you're like, well, that guy's got it. That guy's awesome.
Well, it has to be somebody out there, but I don't look for even with me myself, when we made records, mentally I removed myself from what it is that I was doing because I'm trying to do something else. Or even back in the day, I was just trying to get high. So we did the record, you know, it's a hit. You know, where's the drugs and where's the broads?
I was going to say, what fueled you more, the drugs or the broads?
The
drugs on the broads.
No, the broads.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It was absolutely the broads. When we first started doing it,
you got to reap those rewards at some point. It is part of what you're getting there for.
Hey, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, it all goes hand in hand.
Quick question. Did you like or hate the Duran Duran cover of White Lines?
I loved it. But what happened to that is on the Bad Boys 2, the producer wanted to use their cover song in the movie. But instead of just putting it in the movie, when they put it out, somebody in California played a Make It or Break It, right, for that record. And they trashed it because but the original is so much of a classic. How could you do that? It's blasphemy. I'm like, you're taking a fucking check. Would you shut the fuck up? Would you shut the And so it never made the movie.
Oh, they did like a smash or pass on a hip-hop radio?
Yeah.
With the Duran version?
It was a rock.
Mainstream show.
A rock station.
That's funny.
But
that's
White Lines is more of a pop rock song than most of our stuff is. It's more pop than it is hip hop.
Did you have any gripe with like any of the big time like correspondents of hip hop, like a Wendy Williams or something ever?
No.
Where something like that, always good with like the hip hop stations. I started off in the all black comedy circuits in Philadelphia, which was completely connected to Power 99 FM in Philadelphia, like the hip-hop station. So it was so interesting kind of like being in that world so much. But I know like Wendy Williams is just notorious, like rappers hated her.
Because if you're messy, then that gave her ammunition.
Yeah.
But I had one DWI, but I've never been arrested. I never shot nobody. I never stabbed nobody. I never went to prison.
No TMZ drama.
Nothing like that.
Let me ask you, just going back to the in the gym and the podcast, like where did you first get into working out? Like what inspired you to do that?
One of the guys in the group used to do a lot of push-ups. He died, Cowboy, may he rest in peace. So when he used to get down, and so it's like male ego, he would do push-ups. Then I would do push-ups. But then after a while, I started taking it more serious and reading up on it. You know, I go to all the shows. I just went to the Arnold Classic about a couple weeks ago. Yeah. So I'm really into it, like read all the books and what to do and what not to do and, you know, and how to be, you know, natural and stay natural and just, you know, grow into your workout. So that's what I meant.
How many days a week are you?
My step-pop was in the powerlifting, but none of that was natural.
I try to work out every day. I might work out after I leave here, but I'm just
yeah, did I see one of your podcasts I watched? It was like 2 a.m. You were in the fucking gym.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, but that's when you can get your best work because like now in certain gyms it just be way too many people there. So I like to work straight out. I don't like to wait. I don't wait or wait around. I don't do a lot of talking. So there's really nobody there to talk to, and you know, 3, 4 a.m. But I've been doing that for years.
I'm a fat shit for sure. But what's interesting enough, I'd be a lot worse if I didn't do anything that I did. Yeah.
Brutus beefcake.
Between playing basketball and stuff. But on the road, I've started fighting the urge to do this, think this is ridiculous. Not that I'll go to the hotel gym, but sometimes at night when I have my most energy, because I just got done doing shows, I'm in a hotel, I have all that energy with nowhere to go, is a time where I'm like, this is when I should do, like, I don't want to wake up in the morning and do, like, extra. It's not
I
my
love
thing.
Getting up and working out.
See, but I'm saying, to me, at the end of the night, I'm like, yeah, why not, like, just bang out push-ups and sit-ups now.
When you do
it's like
it,
2 in the
it.
Morning, but I'm just sitting here watching YouTube videos or whatever.
Well, any time is a good time to work out, and anything you do, Beth, you try to clean a room, that's a workout.
Yeah. Anything is better than nothing, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You're doing no push-ups, do one.
We're singing the Ralph Stories
of
the workout.
What's the record with the movie with the guy when he was teaching the dude Kung
Karate
Fu?
Kid.
Okay, Karate Kid, what did he teach him first?
Wax on, wax off.
Yeah, he taught him how to clean
the fucking room. That's
you know, yeah, he taught him how to clean. It, so anything is a workout.
We were driving the other day, I forget, on the highway somewhere I was driving, and there was a car that somebody clearly waxed on, but didn't wax on. It had all the circles on it.
He can only fight people on his right side.
He can only block left. Yeah. You only get the wax on.
Another thing I'm not sure it's true or not. Is it true that you pioneered the idea of rappers touring outside of New York, that you were one of the first to do that?
Yeah, well, I mean, when... Because, see, it wasn't like it was radio where we was promoting. So they promoted it was by word of mouth and just passing out flyers. But we were like the first guys to, you know, play in New Jersey and, you know, parts of the upstate. Like, we went further than all the groups back then.
That's
but it was all by word of mouth, though. It wasn't like and actually, dollar for dollar, I made more money back then than I made now.
How was D.C. In early like hip-hop days, like touring-wise? Is that like a big... That's like a...
Well, everything outside of New York, I considered it country. I was like, these are some country mother.
I was surprised to find out in D.C. touring there, they think of New York as northerners. Like, they don't consider... They think they're southern. It's not that far.
Were there rappers that you came up with that you can't believe didn't make it? Like, guys, you're like, oh, these guys were so fucking talented. I thought for sure that was going to be huge.
DOS Effects.
Well, it was a lot of guys that didn't make it. But, you know, I guess the amount of slots where somebody could be famous, it was so few. So it's like you had to be more lucky. So I think we was talented, but I think we was lucky as well. Mm-hmm. You know, so but I remember one time I seen a guy and they just brought him to me and he starts rapping and cars is going by and he's, you know, rapping and the plane that flew over and whatever somebody had on one car, he put the color of the car, the make and the model and the license plate in a rhyme. And then they said, what do you think about the dude? I said, yeah, I would sign him if I could sign him. But chances are nobody's never going to hear about you ever again. And I never did. I never heard about this.
I was going to say, and that was blah, blah, blah. But no, just no,
by the way, you shouldn't discount yourself to say you're more than just lucky, plus you had opportunity and the ability to do it.
And the talent. That's the luck and talent.
I said, someone in entertainment myself, like, there's luck. You need luck.
Yeah, you need luck.
No, you got to be lucky. You 100% need luck. You need luck. You need help from others. But you also need like to have when you get the opportunity, you got to be ready for it. You guys are ready for it, or else it wouldn't have been a hit song. Yeah, there's got to be a dozen other people, probably in the neighborhood, that thought they had the next thing.
No, but fame kind of caught us off guard because like when we made the first record, Freedom, we were supposed to go out on tour. It was like just a weekend gig, and then Al Haymon, the guy, he's a box promoter now, but he used to promote the R&B songs. And we went on tour for like about 6 weeks. So we only had a weekend's worth of clothes. Then we stayed on tour for 6 weeks, and so it did cut. And then when the drugs came into play, it's like we all young guys. Yeah. And by the time we get on the next year of making records,
that was gonna be my question.
What was the youngest you were? What was the youngest you were on like a tour bus tour?
I think 20. 20 or 21.
When did you first realize?
That's got to be dangerous. That's the most dangerous. Yeah, you're really like, that's got to be its own world.
We got money, and they come look for you back, say, the cocaine guy. So he's like,
ain't no one looking out for you.
Was it on that Freedom tour when you realized, oh, this is getting way bigger than I thought it was? That was when you made that realization, or was that the moment?
No, absolutely. Because like I said, everything came so quick. You know, if you leave your house for a weekend and then you don't come back home till like 6 weeks later.
Do you still do your best to rap without cursing? Because you're one of the few that did.
Well, now you could curse more now, but I still try not. You know, I still try because you want to keep it clean for kids. You don't want nobody to explain whatever it is that you're doing to a kid. Because if they got to do that, chances are you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, Jay, if you have to explain what you're doing to a kid, you're definitely doing it wrong.
No,
I don't have kids around, Ralph. You're the one who imports people. Ralph thinks if it's legal in their country, it's okay to fucking hear.
Mr. Human Trafficker.
By the way, look, I want to do this.
Wait, I just want to ask one more question. I know because we have to do this stuff, but Mel, have you ever yourself felt like the need to or even experimented with trying to, and for lack of a better term, like modernize your style to like what's happening more? You have?
Absolutely, because I mean the styles change and the game changes. So you know,
is it fun to do that? It's kind of like
because you always that's how talent is. You always gotta elevate. So sure. I still believe to this day I'm still one of the most improved rappers.
Hell yeah.
You know,
that's cool that you still want to do that. It's awesome.
Yeah, great. Well, I mean, it's a great life, you know, and I understand I understand what it really means, like what music really means to people. It's like it's the soundtrack of their whole life. Like if you line up all the great musicians and the people that in the eras, those eras. And that's the thing that I have against rappers a lot now, because if the soundtrack of their life is what's going on right now, that's fucked up.
It's a pretty shitty life.
It's fucked up.
We're going to do a quick game of 80s hip-hop.
I thought we were abandoning the game.
No, name that tune. We got time. We're going to do it quick. We'll do like.
Lainey said she has a band that can come in and do this.
No, she doesn't.
She did. She said that.
She did?
Yeah. So she has people that can come in and play like the
I made Shannon work
songs.
So hard, though.
No, then let's do it.
Shannon, would you be mad if we bailed on it?
Whatever is best for the show.
See, you can hear no voice.
I will bail on it then. We'll bail on it.
You can hear no voice.
We said it's a great show of conversation.
Yeah. So by the way, we still have to do the first, mm-hmm. and then I have a little surprise at the end because I did my fucking research and stuff.
Okay.
All right. So why don't we do the first? Does that make sense?
I heard you love pussy, so here you go.
The name of the show is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. We have asked every guest this since the dawn of time, their first experience
with
all three.
Can you believe Minnie Riperton? No, that was Roberta Flack.
Roberta Flack, wrong one. We ask you first experience with all three. We start with rock and roll. We just mean the first concert you went to, not rock show. Just the first concert you went to. Ideally, something we're going to know, but whatever you went to on your own volition, like, I want to go see this show.
Okay, the first concert I went to was... Shaka Khan concert.
Oh, nice. All right. That's fucking cool.
They
shit.
Played at Shea Stadium with Brass Construction, Harold Melvin, and the Blue Notes. Like
Shea
big,
Stadium.
Yeah. And she came in from center field in a yellow cab.
Wow.
And she got on stage and she never sang a song. But everybody loved, I mean, Shaka Khan, they loved her so much.
Meaning still, that it was all tracks or that everybody was singing every line?
No, she just never sang. Like
she showed up?
Yeah, she just showed up and she's messing with the guitar player and, you know what I mean? And they was singing and they was playing. But everybody loved it so much. I mean, they just loved it. You know what I mean?
You say, damn, let me rock you, Chuck.
Yeah, and that's what I said. I wish I could make a record, but see, God is great. I wound up making her greatest record.
That's awesome.
Both our greatest records.
I'm so cut off, but I just want to say to a point I was making earlier about the biopic stuff with the rappers, particularly, that are always funny. They always like overcompensate the situation. Like in the Biggie Smalls biopic, they had him like, right before he went into that car, he called everyone in his life and said he was going to turn everything around. You know,
right.
Like an impossible thing. I don't know why this caught me so hard. On that Wu-Tang Clan show last night, it's a girl with, I guess, is dating U God, who was one of like the lesser known guys in the group. And she was with him and she was talking. She was like, yeah, you should do something on your own. He goes, no, I got, it's Inspector Deck, actually. And he was like, no, I got to wait for... RZA to make the tracks or whatever. And then this is a girl who had like a gold tooth, like salt and pepper hair and booty shorts on. And she goes, Paul McCartney didn't wait for John Lennon to do whatever. And I'm like, that was never said. That was never said at all. Like that conversation never happened.
Yeah, that just makes it good for the storyline.
This girl was like, did John? I go, I don't know if that was the best example.
So now, the first
you just said like, did Rufus always ask Shaka Khan?
Or Tina Turner, Ike Turner, whatever. But I did, the first drug you ever did, after weed, unless weed wasn't your first drug.
After weed?
Yeah, unless weed wasn't your first drug.
I'm trying to remember. Cocaine is a hell of a drug. Man. Cocaine is weird. The first, when we was making records, so now we was always around cocaine, right? But I never would sniff cocaine because it would give me sinuses. My nose would get stuffy. Mm-hmm. So I would just have it on, you know, and just to, you know, get girls, you know, they want to get high, you know what I mean? And, you know, people
trust
treat
me,
you
know.
Better.
I know exactly
so,
what you're
talking. So we on the bus.
Ralph uses fentanyl.
I know exactly.
And they got coke. And then she was sniffing coke. And I didn't really feel nothing. I was like, yo, y'all fucking weirdos. And I just went to sleep and shit. So it didn't affect my brain. Right. Like it takes a while for you to really know what it is you get.
Yeah.
So that was then. We sniffed coke on the bus, and I just thought everybody was fucking weird because it, you know, and I went
what
to sleep.
What is this? That's so hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the first one.
Did
after
you,
weed.
Was there years of crossover of like a real hardcore like fitness commitment and drugs?
No, we actually we used to get high and work out.
That's what I mean. Yeah, there was. Yeah. It was cross.
Like you know,
that, everything else. Like I can only eat greens and hormone free meat. Also, cocaine from some guy.
Some guy in the corner.
That was my favorite thing. My friends with the vaccine that were like, I'm not putting that shit. I don't know where it came from the government in my arm. I go, you've taken Molly from some guy.
Yeah, I don't
like, right. Are you crazy?
And now the first time you had sex.
The first time I had sex, it was, she had a nice body, but she wasn't good in the face.
By the way, I would kill for someone to say that about me just once.
She was the fastest, ugliest girl that I ever seen. Like, we was playing.
How
like,
old were you?
No, I was like maybe 9 or 10.
10?
Yeah, I was really young. So we playing like, you know, like run. It was a game called Run, Catch, and Kiss, right?
Catch a girl, freak a girl.
But then, yeah, so then we took it, but and I kept trying to outrun this fucking girl, and she kept like tracking me down, like hunting me down and shit. So she was the fastest fucking girl that
she caught
seen
you.
Yeah, but I'm trying to rub
that's
on.
By the way, that was the inspiration for him to working out. Like, you know what I'm saying?
So that was the first time with the fast ugly bro.
Oh man, that's wild.
Yeah.
All right, let me ask you this, to go back on the MC thing. You mentioned a lot about you do feel you, which I agree, one of the best MCs. You could probably beat anyone in a rap battle. When is the last time you actually had a rap battle?
I think in a new music seminar, I think it was like me, Kaz, and what's my man name? It'll come to me. I'm having a senior moment. Yeah.
How long ago we talking about?
Oh, that was a minute ago. That was 20 something years.
Did you get hit up by that Versus thing at all? Did they like come to you at all when they were doing that over the quarantine?
I think they had an agenda. Like they won a certain amount of songs. I don't think they was into the whole like. I guess it was a battle, but I never watched the Versus anyway.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they wanted a different. They had a different agenda. You had to have a certain amount of songs, and I guess that's what it would be. That was the interest. Like, you know, person come, you got 10, 11 songs, and then that's you know,
yeah. Right. All right. Lot. So the podcast that you're doing from the gym is called Melly Mel's
Hip Hop Corner,
right.
And you can hit me up on Instagram, Melly Mel Glover, MELLEMEL. I gotta get my numbers up because as to this point right now, I got more, you know.
You're following.
Yeah. Right. I'm following, you know, 9 million people. I got 3 followers. You know what I'm saying?
And we're going to add a song to the playlist before we go around and do the plugs. I have the new track that has not come out yet called Shoot 'Em.
Right.
Which we're going to play on the song, which is not out yet, but we will play it at the end of the show. But before we do, anything else you want to plug before we go around and do all our plugs?
No, definitely the podcast, Melly Mel's Hip Hop Corner, you know, subscribe.
Also on YouTube
subscribe.
As well, you can see it on YouTube.
Yeah,
if you go to his Instagram, the link is right there on the Instagram
absolutely,
as well.
Absolutely,
I got to interject one more time. Melly Mel, Sugar Hill Gang, and Curtis Brown.
They got a tour out.
Oh,
can
nice.
He say that
nice.
One more time? His mic was low.
I'd say it again. Your mic was low. Say it again. Melly Mel, Sugar Hill Gang, Curtis Blow Tour.
It's called the First Generation Tour. If you see it, pick it up.
Is it starting?
Ahead, talk about it,
man.
Yeah, yeah. But we're just getting it off the ground, you know. But we want to. Like, so what we really want to do is have and not wait for you know some outside people to come in and say, okay, yeah, we're putting the show together, and then you know we want to try to set up our whole situation. That's what the podcast and that's what everything's about. Like by the end of this year, I don't want to talk to nobody about hip hop because all they're going to do is say, yeah, well, we had the 50th anniversary, you know. So we're just trying to have our whole setup. Already together, then by next year we're self-sufficient, classic hip-hop is up and running, and then not only will we have stuff to do, but all the other classic hip-hop artists have things to do.
By the way, that'd Curtis Flow, first hip-hop cover, I believe, is Run DMC covering Curtis Blow's Hard Times. I think that is the first cover song of hip-hop of all time.
They covered his song.
They covered his song. I think that's right. I could be wrong, but I think that's right. Jay, your plugs.
Well, the biggest thing right now, everybody, the special coming out
One
April
week.
5th. In 1 week, it'll be out. I don't understand the internet
that
like
is
you're supposed to. So I'm told, watch it the first day. What is it? Comment and share it. I put so much money into this thing. Self-producing is no bullshit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've done things with Netflix and Comedy Central before, and it turns out they really throw their money into this, apparently. But I'm very, very excited.
And I was there. It was a fucking great show.
It's really awesome. We did it live from Skankfest. Dog Belly live from Skankfest, April 5th. Free on YouTube,
April
everybody.
5th? I thought you said April 8th.
April 5th.
Okay, you start.
I just want you guys to... No, it's a week from today. Okay. It's Thursday, Wednesday. I just want you guys to watch it, enjoy it, share, comment. Very excited about that. And I'm all over the road this weekend. If you're listening, I'm in Spokane, Washington. After that, West Nyack, New York at Levity Live. Detroit. Austin, Moon Tower Festival, Nashville Comedy Festival. We're doing the Kid Rock Comedy Jam thing again. So I'm all over the place. And then this summer, whole this summer, we're doing the big arena tours with Bert Kreischer.
I'm going to the one in Pennsylvania with Melissa. I told you already.
Well, no. So Fully Loaded Tour, we're doing Forest Hill Stadium, which will be cool. That's the Fully Loaded Bert Kreischer Tour. We've sold, it's crazy what we've sold. In Hershey, PA, me, Shane Gillis, Tim Dillon, Nick Mullen. I think we sold 7,000 tickets already.
Is it a little odd that your plugs are five times longer than Melly Mel's, or is that not odd?
I think I'm in the wrong business.
Melly Mel's a legend.
I got these
people to watch and listen to these things.
I'm trying to understand.
But it's fucking awesome, man. So thank you, everybody who bought tickets for that. And BigJComedy.com for all my dates.
I think
Bonfire with Robert Kelly on SiriusXM.
Before we go to Shannon, I think we have a mystery plug.
The ghost is back. I want to ask Melly Mel, why does he go to a gym to do a podcast? What the hell does that mean?
Mel, your thoughts?
I'm just more comfortable in
Mel,
the gym.
God has
just
a question for you?
Yeah, just right. While he's trying to steal your wallet. You see, you got to watch this.
By the way, I zipped up my wallet and it moved an inch to my right.
See? No, I just feel very comfortable in the gym.
Has any of the rappers yet taken you on your challenge to come and work out with you or not yet?
Yeah, I think we're going to set up something to work out with Jimmy and them.
Okay, so me and Jay should come in and do
one. To take Joe List's joke he made about me at Lewis's Roast, don't worry, I'm Jewish, so I chained my wallet to me.
Shannon, your plugs.
And he goes, how do you know Jay's Jewish? He changed his wallet to himself.
You can follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is, Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts. We have all sorts of interesting guests come on, and they tell their own personal stories about their worst date experience, a time they got into a street fight, and an experience with the paranormal.
I feel it's a no-brainer.
Yes and yes.
Does Melly Mel believe in ghosts?
Yes.
I'm a yes. Shannon, yes. Do you believe in ghosts?
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah, that was a yes.
No, it's a hallucination.
No,
hallucinating.
Is a ghost in my apartment right now?
Yeah, I mean, God is speaking to all of us right now, so that's enough to know there's apparitions happening all the time.
He's a ghost. Look at Mick.
Follow me over at I Am Ralph Sutton, my other podcast on health and wellness called The Good Sugar Podcast. I invited both Jay and Shannon tomorrow, as we're taping this, to the tasting, but both of you said no.
Oh.
So we're going to tasting tomorrow. We're opening on April 3rd, which is a week from Monday,
Ralph,
or when this comes out, it'll be open already. And we're going to play the new song right now. Thank you to Giving It To Us. It's called Shoot 'Em. It is a premiere, I guess, right? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it's a world premiere.
A world premiere for the
world
brand new
premiere.
Melly Mel, a fucking honor, man, to have you on.
We had a good time.
A round of applause for everyone.
Yeah.
And we'll see you Saturday. Who's on Saturday, Shannon? You know it. I don't.
Next Saturday, I don't know.
Oh, fuck you.
Big news, everybody, next Saturday.
Oh, it's Hailstorm, I think. Hailstorm is on next Saturday. I'll see you next time on the SDR show.
I want to hear this Melly Mel record.
Black America has a very serious problem. Problem is gangbanging. Gangbanging, it kills more people than COVID. To me, it's worse than slavery. The first time that we were slaves, we were in chains. This time, we're in denial, so it's never gonna stop. In front of your house, sitting on your couch.
Shoot him.
Standing on your block, acting like it's cool, you selling that rock.
Shoot him.
Sitting in your whip, waiting for the phone for the trip.
Shoot him.
See your brother kill a punk where I came, we love one another. Everywhere you live, even in front of your kids.
Shoot him.
They see your pops in the barbershop, what they done did.
Shoot him.
They looking for you, what they see my dude, ooh, what they gonna do.
Shoot him.
Brother, gotta get a Glock, put it to the dome, here it go. You ain't no gangster, your name ain't Tony Rutt. We ain't an elite nigga, you just walked in Pizza Hut. You killed your own kind, I think that is atrocious. Call each other rats, scrambling like a bunch of roaches. Keep playing, you might see the feds, and the feds don't play.
Shoot 'em.
CIA, DEA, FBI, NWA.
Shoot 'em.
I see you
when I see you. You're an R-A-T and PC. Never shot a motherfucker in the hood. All of a sudden you a OG. I don't understand, my man, but on the block it's understood. They say it's all to the good. Y'all seen boys in the hood. Brother don't act black good. Smoke a nigga like Drew in the backwoods. All my niggas in the club, I mean, here you go. Pop, pop, pop. You work for the clan, my man. You worse than a slave. So you post all up on the gram, pissing on some nigga grave. You showing way too much ass, rolling round in the drop. I'm looking at you, you looking at me, and suddenly, everywhere you go, somebody wanna wet you up. If they don't get that drop on you, they gonna set you up. You killing your own kind. I think that is atrocious. Call each other rats, scrambling like a bunch of roaches. Kids in the playground, about to stay down, lay down, or somebody gonna shoot them. Brothers don't play now, gunplay, y'all wanna get away now. Shoot them. Don't cry, never beg, keep kicking it like can play. Shoot them. Never shot a motherfucker in the ghetto, put you in the studio going. If it ain't the cops or the ops, the bullets don't stop. Gang, gang. Shoot them. Say the gang, get your real family, now your real family got a gang bang. Shoot them. Every day you online like a chain gang. Social media the same thing. All my niggas in the club, let me hear you go pop, pop, pop. All my real OGs in the street, you can't meet because they long gone. They got pipped in the hood real good. Bishop Magic Don Juan. Y'all looking for the smoke and the tote. Broke, won't stop. I'm looking at you, you looking at me. Suddenly, you ain't no gangster. Your name ain't Tony what? We ain't an elite nigga. You just walked in Pizza Hut. You killing your own kind. I think that is atrocious. Call each other rats, scrambling like a bunch of roaches.
You've been listening to the SDR Show.